I believe community is the umbilical cord to our existence. It is where all that we need for a nurtured life rests. Staying connected to a community that keeps you strengthened through this thing we call life is essential. Your journey to finish strong starts now. Welcome to Finishing Strong with Erica Strong. I am Erica Strong. Hello, my strong finishers, and welcome back to Finishing Strong with me, Erica Strong. So today's topic I pretty much gathered from one of the topics that I was so fortunate to have been able to participate in on one of the local talk shows here. It's called Atlanta and Company. And there's a segment on Atlanta and Company. It's Real Talk. And I have been blessed with just the opportunity to be a contributing guest on that show periodically, just to come and just share your views or your insight about different topics. So this one topic intrigued me so much because I know that it's so many of us that deal with this secretly or even, you know, verbally or out in the open, but we deal with this so much that I felt like this was a topic that I needed to explore just a little bit more. So the topic today is how to handle offense. Now that's pretty big because I feel like every day there is an opportunity that we can either be offended or decide to let it go and not take it on as an offense. But there is an underlining, I would say, foundation behind whether you are going to be offended or not be offended. And when you recognize those underlining things, it will help you to either, you know, see your way out of it or recognize when offense is coming or offense is happening and how to see your way through it. So I want to just dive into how to live a life without having offense as something that holds over your head. And I remember long ago, a speaker, Joyce Myers, I remember her saying one time before that living in offense is really like living in a fence. You get it? You have surrounded or blocked yourself off from the world based on your fence. You have built a fence around yourself. So off fence. You have built this fence around you. So basically everybody back off because I am offended. And so when I heard her say that a long time ago, I thought like, wow, how clever of, you know, the use of that word, but it really did make sense. I started thinking about people that I knew in my life that were, you know, highly offended and offensive and would be very combative and very defensive in their approach to everything. And I thought, like, how miserable of a life to live in offense, like you always are guarded that somebody is going to say something that you don't like, do something that you don't like, just really just upset you to the point that you can become offended. Did you know that you have control over what offends you or not? Did you know that you can decide whether to just pass it off, let it go, or simmer in it and let it consume you? Well, I want to have the conversation about passing it off, letting it go, and not letting it consume you. So here we go. Let's just go ahead and dive right in. One of the first takeaways that I would say to combat yourself from offense is, number one, don't take it personal. Even when it was done to you, the offender only acts from a bruised place that has nothing to do with you. That's a thought by itself, because you think the offender is attacking you, but usually if somebody is attacking or being offensive or verbally or physically doing something, typically there's a simmering foundation, but under them that they are acting out from a bruised place that has nothing to do with you. I know it's hard to recognize it when it's happening, but this is true. It is true that they are responding or reacting or doing things from their bruised place because they have gathered their own perception of their world and now are trying to force it on you. Just like in a lot of families, I know in my family in particular, I remember hearing stories of molestation. And I thought, like, you know, when I would hear the stories of the person that did the offensive acts, I thought, like, how terrible, that person is a monster. And, you know, just really painted this picture that this is just a terrible, terrible person or people. Once I started to really understand how things work in life and how people respond or act from their own bruised place, it really gave me a level of compassion for the people that actually did those unkind acts. When I understood or when I learned that that too happened to them. So it became their, I guess, quote unquote, norm, or it became their bruised place of crippling where they, if it's happened to them and they do it to someone else, it's almost as if they are passing along this offensive behavior without really understanding the consequences that comes behind it. So as a person that, if you were a person that was abused sexually, and you say, Erica, how is it that I cannot be offended by this person that sexually took advantage of me when I was such a young kid and didn't have control over the yes or the no? Or how could I, you know, not be offended by a person that would have taken advantage of me when I trusted them? Whatever that is, or whatever the situation is, and it don't even have to be sexual assault. It could be somebody that just verbally or mentally or physically was abusive, or, you know, just didn't value your opinion and always made you feel like that you weren't smart enough or good enough. Typically, that person that is the offender has so many bruises and spaces in their life that they have not been done the work or healed from. So when I recognize that this person have acted out of a bruised place or is doing things out of a bruised place, it helps me to not take it personal, because a lot of the backlash that the offended person get is, there must have been something I have done to deserve this, or you know, how could they have done this to me? Or I thought that this was a person that I could trust. And they start putting the blame on themselves as if it was something that they themselves could have done to change that the outcome. And typically it wasn't anything that you could have done to change it. It was just this person acted out of a bruised place. So you, as the offended, have to take into consideration that I'm not going to take it personal. There is nothing wrong with me. Now I have to do the work to heal myself from the offense that has happened, because I have determined not to build a fence around myself. Because when I build a fence around myself, then I am the one that is now defensive and hard to get along with, and block people off and closed off. And I'm the one that have this strained life because I decided to be offended, living behind a fence, a wall, a barrier that you consider as your quote unquote protection, but really is that thing that cuts you off from life. So the first one is, do not take it personal. The next one is, forgive immediately. This is the only way I promise you, it's the only way to hold on to your power. How in the world? This is where it gets a little like, okay, Erica, my eyebrows are raised. I don't know if I want to listen to you anymore. But how is it that I gain power from forgiving immediately? That doesn't even make sense. To the average person, it seems like it's just fluff and it's just something nice to say. But the only way to hold on to your power is to forgive, because with forgiveness, that is a gift that only you can give to yourself. It is your way of freeing yourself from the person or the offense immediately. As soon as it happens, you can decide in that moment, am I going to forgive this? Or am I going to hold on to it? Because holding on to it, being angry, being frustrated, regurgitating how it happened, when it happened, and why it shouldn't have happened, and trying to analyze it all, that will only hold you back in that space of offense. And it will just get deeper and deeper and deeper. And I talk about this a little bit more in my book, Love Strong, Stand Strong, Finish Strong. So if you don't have a copy of the book, please do get it, because a lot of it is gaining and harnessing the power of forgiveness. And I really believe that's probably going to be one of my next book titles, because when I have this conversation about forgiveness, you would be surprised the backlash that I always get back with, like, okay, Erica, there are some things that are just unforgivable. I cannot forgive somebody for this and that and this and that. And it may be true that what they did was heinous. And remember, you shall always reap what you have sown. And so that quote or that scripture alone frees me up to know that whatever they did, they won't get away with it. But why do I hold on to it as if I'm the one that can punish them, or if I'm the one that can judge them? Holding on to the offense and holding that offender in that space in your heart and in your mind as an enemy, as a nemesis, as somebody that you need to get back, that is only driving more negative energy into yourself, only driving more negative responses and negative results from your life, because you're holding on to something so negative. So if I want my power, I can decide to let it go. Because as long as I hold on to whatever that offense is, you are deciding my happiness. And the offender is deciding my joy. The offender is deciding whether I can just breathe easily. The offender is deciding whether I can have a good life. Because if I'm holding on to this offense, there's no way I can have a good life. If I'm holding on to this offense, I'm barely breathing the way that I should to oxidize my body and get my blood pumping and my organs and everything flowing the way it's supposed to, because I am clamped up with this negative energy of offense, when I could easily say, you know what? The scripture is true that you shall reap what you have sown. So because of that, I don't have to hold you as a hostage, as a prisoner for me. I can release you and let you deal with your own karma, because all I want to see in my life is good. So good is what I put in, and good is what I give out. So I'm going to freely forgive. I remember writing a quote some years ago that ended with, "I will forgive for free, like Christ has forgiven me." And if you can keep that in the forefront of your mind, it'll be so easy to forgive immediately. In People Magazine, I read an article that said that there are three reasons that people get offended. The first one is the feeling of inferiority. I can understand that, because if a person... Well, you know, I'm a story girl, so let me tell you a story. I remember one of my daughters was in gymnastics, and she absolutely loved it. And we lived in a culturally diverse community, but this particular gymnastic studio was predominantly Caucasian. And so most of the kids there, you know, they kind of knew each other. The moms knew each other. There was this whole little group of community that was already there. And so although we lived in the community, I had never met any of the moms, any of the children. And so bringing my daughter to this studio, I was probably one of three African-American parents that was there. Luckily for me, I was in school, so I was you know, able to just kind of bring my homework, and I was studying for my master's in marriage and family therapy. And so I was doing my homework, and I realized that, you know, normally I meet people easily, and normally, like, the camaraderie just comes naturally. But in this group, I felt, in a sense, isolated, because even when I would put my homework aside and just try to, you know, talk to some of the parents or just make myself, you know, friendly and open for conversation, I always felt closed off. And so I literally one day had to leave out of the studio, go and sit inside of my car and remind myself that, Erica, you are enough. You are enough. Your skin color, the pigment of your skin, the melanin in your skin, does not determine your worth or your value. Because I really felt like a lot of it had to do with, you know, a racial feeling. I mean, and I'm not trying to pull a race card or anything, but I remember having a feeling of inferiority, sitting in there wanting to be a part of the parent kind of collaboration, and I felt blocked out. And when I was feeling blocked out, I really had to realize where the source of this was coming from, because I felt offended. I felt offended that they wouldn't even look my way if I said, excuse me, or hey, would you tell me what time is the next practice? I mean, I was always feeling like I was intruding on a conversation. So there was a feeling of inferiority. And so I remember going to my car and sitting in my car and giving myself that pep talk. You are enough. Your melanin, your pigmentation does not determine your worth. If they don't find value in having a conversation with you and opening up to bring you into that community, you are just as fine without it. So I determined that I would just bring my homework and I would study my behind off and take myself away from the offense that no one is showing that community that everybody else is seeing. So I decided, you know what? I'm not going to be offended. Unfortunately, they didn't get the opportunity to meet such a wonderful person as myself and eventually a good friend. And so because of that, I was happy that I recognized immediately that I was feeling inferior, therefore feeling offended. So by understanding it and in recognizing it, I fixed it. Because if I had not fixed it, I would have shrugged them off, given them the cold look, or, you know, just I would have started acting out in negative ways that we don't even think that we're doing. But if we're in a space of offense, you are doing it. You're sending out this negative energy that you're just going to get that same energy back. So I fixed my energy. I fixed my perspective, and I was okay. Okay, so the next one is rigid thinking. Now, with rigid thinking, I can see how somebody could be easily offended, because rigid thinking is someone that thinks that their opinion is the only opinion that matters, that they are ironclad on their thought, their way of doing things, and nobody else's matters enough for them to even switch or change or to kind of give some leeway or some wiggle room for this open conversation for different ideas. So they are very rigid in their thoughts. The next one is ego-centered. For a person that's highly egotistical, they will not feel like anybody is right. They feel like if your answer seems to be better than mine, then I have to find a way to tear it down because you cannot be smarter than me. You cannot be better than me. So that ego will get them, you know, get in the way of being offended. So the three things was feeling inferior, rigid thinking, and ego-centered thinking. I really can see how all of those three things can make people easily offended. Offense is truly your expectations failing you, not the other person. But you know what? This point, I'm going to make an entire episode out of it because I really feel like if we get the grasp of this, we have the grasp of just life. We have one of the nuggets in life. And I'm going to say it again. Offense is truly your expectations failing you, not the other person. So look for a whole episode on the power of expectations, because expectations will disappoint you. And a lot of times we'll hear, you know, people say, you know, you have to have expectation. You have to expect this. You have to expect that. You know what? Expect it from yourself. Have your expectation built on yourself, but still built on yourself with compassion. Build a layer of compassion around that expectation. Because again, here's another one of my stories. I remember having such a judgmental idea about what a mother should be. The idea of what a mother should do or how a mother should be and treat me and love me and da 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 da. And I remember feeling this judgment against my mother. And I was thinking like, well, she's a mother. She should do this and she should be. So my expectations of what I thought that a mother should be all the time was super high. Like I literally put my expectations as a mother into the superhuman category that you have to be all to all whenever we need you because you are a mother. And it wasn't until I became a mother myself that I realized that there was no handbook to being a perfect mother. Now, there are guides on how to go through your pregnancy. There are guides on how to deal with a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old. And these are all opinionated guides because once that child comes to this earth, they have their own ideas. They have their own personality. They are their own little human being with their own little human emotions. So no person can be treated, loved, coddled, and nurtured the same. Not one person can get a cookie cutter way of being parented. I have 3 daughters and they are 3 girls. So you would think 3 girls, how good I can parent them the same way. Nope. Every last one of them completely different. Every last one of them I have a completely different relationship with. Every last one of them perceive things differently, understand things differently. So my conversation with them is different. The unfortunate thing about this story is that I did not realize that I was holding my mother under such a high-powered microscope of my expectation until she passed away. When she passed away, I was really hurt that I wasn't able to go to her and say, I apologize and I get it. I never did anything disrespectful or wrong, but just the thoughts that I had was wrong. And I never got to say that. My expectations failed me. Not my mother. She didn't fail me. She did the best of raising 6 daughters that were literally aged in stair steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like we were 6 daughters aged right behind each other with all these different personalities and all these different emotions and all these different ways to communicate and understand. And I had my mother and my father trying to figure out 6 different human beings at the same time. My expectation of what I thought a mother should have been was what failed me and disappointed me and not my mother. And so I wrote her a letter once I realized this, knowing that she would never be able to read it, but I just had to get those thoughts out of my head and out of my heart, explaining to her that I apologize for having this high level of expectation. when she's a human being that was trying to figure it out as she was going along. And I'm still figuring it out, trying to be a parent, because now I'm trying to figure out how to parent grown children. Like, that's a whole nother, can somebody write a book about that? That's a whole nother, like, element of being a parent. And there is no cookie cutter way of doing it. And even in a relationship, I expected my husband to be faithful, and he wasn't. I expected my husband to be a family man, and he wasn't. Whatever that level of expectation is, it's not to say that don't, you know, hold people accountable, or don't, you know, hold them in a space of, you know, this is your position. But as soon as they waver from that, don't be rigid in that thought that this is who you are supposed to be. Now be it. As soon as they show you that they are not that person, or that expectation you had of them is not necessarily something that comes easily for them, or something that they even desire to be or to do, then don't be rigid in that thought that, nope, this is your position, this is who you are, this is who I want you to be. Now be it, because you will only frustrate and hurt yourself, because they can only be who they are. So just remember, it's your expectations that create a high level of offense, not the person. Remember, look out for that episode. So when we are able to see people as complex and understand that because of that complexity, we will never think the same. We will never respond the same. So with that understanding, you understand that, okay, we are complex. We won't think the same. We're not the same person. So let me just give you a little bit of kindness and grace to the other person, because of the way that they handle things, and surrender to the fact that it is okay that their view is different from yours, and it is okay. I know with the political climate that we have going on now, and I have become just addicted to every news outlet trying to see what's happening in Washington, what's happening in the White House. And I used to watch it and get so mad, like, oh my goodness, why are they thinking this way? Why are they saying this? And I literally had to take my own words, pull myself back, and try to see it from the perspective of everybody that's having their own opinion, everybody that has their own views, everybody that has their own way of doing things. It is their opinion. It is their perspective. And I cannot let myself get so frustrated and so overwhelmed. And so as I watch those shows, those political analysts and the anchors and the hosts, they are going battling back and forth because they are trying to exert their opinion and their perception, and everybody else is doing the same thing. And at the end of every show, there is never a resolve. There is never a, okay, we have agreed to disagree, but here's where we can meet on the middle ground. I've not ever seen that. And I think that's where politics can really frustrate a lot of people, because it's like, okay, all we want is the end game. Like, what is the final decision? That's it. Even if it's a decision I don't agree with, let me understand what that is. So having compassion and grace for other people will get you a long way and free you up from offense. So be sure to check your ego. If there is any vulnerability there, it will show in what you project. If your ego is vulnerable, it will project that offensive way of thinking and doing things. With a vulnerable ego, you will only hurt yourself and push others away. You will only hurt yourself and push others away. So start taking note in how people respond to you, how people are attracted to you. Do you feel like you are attracting people or repelling people? Because there could be this underlining level of offense from something that happened a long time ago that has created this repellent, this fence that pushes people away. Another nugget in that article that I read in People magazine, it says, it is impossible to live a healthy life offended. that is a whole nother episode as well. Like, it's so many nuggets in this one topic that I just absolutely love. It is impossible to live a healthy life offended. And remember what I described earlier. When you are offended, you have disrupted or created a dis-ease in your life, in your body, in your aura, in your presence, in your energy. So how is it that health can come out of such a diseased presence, a diseased mental pattern? There is absolutely no way. The article highlighted a analogy that Bruce Lee years ago talked about, and I absolutely loved it. He was saying that we should be like water. Water, once it's poured out or wherever it's running, it will run over, run through, and around any obstacle to get to its point that it's trying to get to, or it'll just absorb into that atmosphere. Water is flexible and pliable and movable. Water forgives, water moves, water is in a flow. And that's how we should be with other people. That's how our compassion and our kindness and graciousness should look when we are handling other people and their differences and opinions and all of that, and even the things that people have done to us. Find us a way to be like water and go over that offense, go through that offense, go around that offense. Because remember, we are not taking it personal and we are forgiving easily. So remember, I promise we will never leave an episode without an affirmation. So repeat after me. I will extend compassion and grace to myself and others. There is no room for offense, only growth, expansion, and understanding. My life is a life of good health, good relationships, and good communication. I am empowered to learn through different perspectives and grateful to always find wisdom. I am free of offense. Therefore, I am full of power. Now believe it and know it. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Finishing Strong with Erica Strong. Now, go live a life that is not offended. And let's finish strong together.